She and Ted exchanged looks. A mixture of fear and guilt gripped Harry at the sight of their expressions. If any of the others had died, it was his fault, all his fault. He had consented to the plan, given them his hair. "The portkey," he said, remembering all of a sudden. "We've got to get back to the burrow and find out. Then we'll be able to send you word, or Tonks will, once she's..."
"Dora will be okay, Dromida," said Ted. "She knows her stuff. She's been in plenty of tight spots with the Aurors. The portkey's through here," he added to Harry. "It's supposed to leave in 3 minutes, if you want to take it."
"Yeah, we do," said Harry. He seized his rucksack, swung it onto his shoulders. He looked at Mrs. Tonks, wanting to apologize for the state of fear in which he left her, and for which he felt so terribly responsible. But no words occurred to him that did not seem hollow and insincere. "I'll tell Tonks, Dora, to send word when she... Thanks for patching us up. Thanks for everything. I..."
He was glad to leave the room and follow Ted Tonks along a short hallway and into a bedroom. Hagrid came after them, bending low to avoid hitting his head on the door lintel.
"There you go, son. That's the portkey."
Mr. Tonks was pointing to a small, silver-backed hairbrush lying on the dressing table.
"Thanks," said Harry, reaching out to place a finger on it, ready to leave.
"Wait a moment," said Hagrid, looking around. "Harry, where's Hedwig?"
She got hit," said Harry.
The realization crashed over him. He felt ashamed of himself as the tears stung his eyes. The owl had been his companion, his one great link with the magical world whenever he had been forced to return to the Dursleys. Hagrid reached out a great hand and patted him painfully on the shoulder.
"Never mind," he said gruffly. "Never mind. She had a great old life."
"Hagrid,"
said Ted Tonks warningly as the hairbrush glowed bright blue, and Hagrid only just got his forefinger to it in time. With a jerk behind the navel as though an invisible hook and line had dragged him forward, Harry was pulled into nothingness, spinning uncontrollably, his finger glued to the portkey as he and Hagrid hurtled away from Mr. Tonks. Seconds later, Harry's feet slammed onto hard ground, and he fell onto his hands and knees in the yard of the burrow. He heard screams. Throwing aside the no longer glowing hairbrush, Harry stood up, swaying slightly, and saw Mrs. Weasley and Ginny running down the steps by the back door as Hagrid, who had also collapsed on landing, clambered laboriously to his feet.
"Harry, you are the real Harry? What happened? Where are the others?"
cried Mrs. Weasley.
"What do you mean? Isn't anyone else back?"
Harry panted. The answer was clearly etched in Mrs. Weasley's pale face.
"The Death Eaters were waiting for us," Harry told her. "We were surrounded the moment we took off. They knew it was tonight. I don't know what happened to anyone else. 4 of them chased us. It was all we could do to get away. And then Voldemort caught up with us."
He could hear the self-justifying note in his voice, the plea for her to understand why he did not know what had happened to her sons. But,
"Thank goodness you're all right," she said, pulling him into a hug he did not feel he deserved.
"Haven't got any brandy, have you, Molly?"
asked Hagrid, a little shakily.
"For medicinal purposes."
She could have summoned it by magic, but as she hurried back toward the crooked house, Harry knew that she wanted to hide her face. He turned to Ginny, and she answered his unspoken plea for information at once.
"Ron and Tonks should have been back first, but they missed their portkey. It came back without them,"
she said, pointing at a rusty oil can lying on the ground nearby.
"And that one," she pointed at an ancient sneaker, "should have been Dad and Fred's. They were supposed to be second. You and Hagrid were third, and..."
She checked her watch.
"If they made it, George and Lupin ought to be back in about a minute."
Mrs. Weasley reappeared, carrying a bottle of brandy, which she handed to Hagrid. He uncorked it and drank it straight down in one.